Then we try to get rid of our faults. Again, that's a lifetime task. You don't finish with 6 and 7 and go on to 8 and 9. You may emphasize any given step that you're working on specifically, but we can't leave any of them. We have to make amends to those whom we've hurt, even to those who have hurt us, if we owe them. And may I pass along the tiniest bit of wisdom that I picked up from Rip. If you have serious amends to make, get advice. Too many people have, you know, except it says, except when to do so would injure them or others. I think people in a burning desire to whitewash their own souls have hurt others beyond control by making things known that should never be known. Please get advice, please, from wiser people who have gone before. We know that we still possess our membership card to the human race. We are what we are. We will fail constantly in this process of trying to be good. And we have to admit it promptly so that there's no longer a backlog of guilt that builds up to get us drunk. Dr. Bob put steps 4 and 5 where they are right after getting sober, because shortly after he began in AA, he drank. At a medical convention, he ran back to Akron. He says, "My God, I can't take a chance on trying to live with unresolved guilt." That's what step 5 does. It doesn't dump the garbage. I've heard that so often in AA and from so-called professionals. Yeah, step 5, you got to dump the garbage. My garbage is locked in. I did the things I did. That's in the book. And you did the things you did. I failed to do the things I should have done. That's all on the record. What step 5 does is resolve my guilt about that past. You don't dump any garbage. Aren't we supposed, our stories disclose in a general way, what we used to be like? Isn't it suggested we dredge it up again and again to let ourselves know what we came from, what we are? Prayer. You know, I used to talk a great deal about prayer, trying to put a deep philosophical basis under it. I don't do that anymore. If there's anybody in this room who actually needs someone to explain why you should have a connection with the power that gave you sobriety, nobody can explain that. You see that one or you don't. Prayer is communication with God. Most of us acknowledge that God is the power greater than ourselves who happens to be the source of our brand new life, sobriety. You know why we pray? It's fitting. It's only fitting that we pray and deepen our life with this power greater than ourselves. Did you ever notice after you're sober about 3 weeks, we all become experts in the spiritual life? Oh yeah, I used to bargain with God, but now me and God just talk. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we talk God to death. You ever wondered what a Sunday morning is like in heaven? I almost see the dear little, here they come again, looking for the Father. They begin to compare prayer. Well, the little prayers you memorized as a child, you know, now I lay me down to sleep and so on. That's kid's stuff. Now we meditate. Me and God just talk. Ladies and gentlemen, one kind of prayer is no better than another. Do you know why we have different kinds? To fulfill different needs. I compare prayer to clothing. You do not wear bikinis at the North Pole. You don't wear parkas on the equator. Meditation is a wonderful thing. Did you ever try to meditate with a toothache? Did you ever try to meditate after major surgery? You know, we Catholics have a devotion called the Rosary. And this Rosary here, the things that happen to you now, what is it like now? Last November, a year ago, in his private chapel, I concelebrated Mass with the Pope, with 9 other priests. Just thinking about it sends chills through me. And afterwards, he gave me this Mother of Pearl rosary. And I say the entire rosary, 15 decades every day, to make up for the neglect of past years. But after the Second Vatican Council, when all the new things were happening, this was in Newsweek magazine, a young priest got up in a pulpit in Missouri and took a rosary and broke it. He said, "It's time now for us to get away with these rote memory prayers and do some serious praying." Well, I have news for that young man. During the last months before I went into treatment, I was so afraid of everything. I was afraid to say Mass during the week. After morning meditation, I'd go up to my room, lie on the bed, stare at the ceiling, and shake. And the rosary was the only chain that I held on to, binding me to heaven. I wonder how many of us have downplayed the prayers we said when we were drunk. "Oh yeah, when I was drunk, I yelled, 'God help me.'" Ladies and gentlemen, they were the best prayers you ever said in your life. Aren't you here? Aren't you here? He answered them. The 12th step, AA's crowning glory. You know, Bill had to start with it to discover the first 11. He went out helping others to find the principles to get us sober, so that we have to kind of have a change of heart, a spiritual awakening. That was Bill Wilson's definition of a spiritual awakening, a profound change of personality. Rip used to say, "Look for the man or woman who would have been if alcohol had not entered his life." But having had that, now we carry the message to alcoholics. How many of us in AA have ever said or heard somebody say, "Oh yeah, the guy two doors down from me has a terrible drinking problem, but he knows I'm in AA and he knows I'm available"? Well, before he comes seeking your help, you're liable to go to his funeral. Have we forgotten how it all started? Dr. Bob didn't call Bill Wilson. Bill called him a complete stranger. That's why this room is filled. Father McDonald, my superior, saved my life. He put me in treatment. My big book does not say we tried to carry the message to alcoholics who picked up the phone, called AA, and asked us to. Now, you have to exercise experience, prudence, and common sense. I'm not advocating that you go out into bars, knock people off of stools, and bring them to meetings. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that if they had not intervened with me, I might be dead now. I saw the film Patton 11 times. It was on tonight. I'd see it again. You remember how it opened? Patton, you know, I have great admiration for him. He had his faults. He had some pretty stinking faults. But he never took a penny of pay from his government, turned over every paycheck to the VA, what is now the VA. He was a very wealthy man. But anyway, you remember, the film opened with him coming up on a stage. He's very dramatic, and it was studied what he did. He really put a lot of thought and study into what he did. And he came up on the stage, and there were his men the night before the invasion of Europe. And he opened with this remark, "No bastard ever won a war by dying for his country. We win wars by making some other poor, dumb bastard die for his country." And he gave a magnificent talk on warfare, soldiering, patriotism, love of country. And boy, something in that line struck me about us. I didn't know what it was until after about the third time I was reading the Divine Office, and I saw it just, I think, in the office yesterday morning. It's in the Divine Office of Friday. "My friends avoid me like a leper. Those closest to me stand afar off. My friends avoid me like a leper. And it hit me. We fit that. And we have become the illegitimate children of the human race. People avoid us as if we are lepers. And the next time Patton opened his mouth, this is what I was listening to. No alcoholic bastard ever won the war against this disease by dying for it. We win the war by making some other poor, dumb, puking, stumbling, shattered alcoholic live. And that's what this is all about. The fifth tradition that was just read is frightening. The group has, as its one primary purpose, to carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. And that is what gratitude is. I sometimes think that we talk gratitude to death. And there's a big, big difference in that word. It has nothing to do with feeling. We all feel grateful. It has to do with doing. Rip used to always say action is the magic word. Christ cured 10 lepers. Don't tell me that all 10 of them didn't feel grateful. You can't have a disease like that lifted from you without feeling something. One of them acted. Let me share with you something about gratitude. There's a friend of mine had put himself on answering service one weekend a month so that when people called AA, it rang in his home. He was in a meeting one Saturday night, and a fellow spoke for a whole hour, and he had the room in tears, absolute tears with how grateful he was. Oh, God, the wife, the children, the job, the neighbor, you know, on all the reasons. And this is what most of us do. We give a list of things that we have to be grateful for, and nobody lets it know what they do to be grateful. So he got up and was how grateful he was for this and that and the other thing. The meeting was over. They said the Lord's Prayer, broke up. 2 hours later, Phil got a call in his home from somebody that wanted help about 3 blocks from where the speaker lived. Now, you know as well as I do that 12th steppers are volunteers. Here's my name, my address, my phone number. And this guy was on a volunteer list, and Phil called him. He said, there's a fellow in your neighborhood needs help. Will you take the call? And this was the reply. I'm tired. Rip always defined gratitude is the only coin with which we can buy God and man. I believe that if I am truly grateful for today's sobriety by trying to share it with somebody, that's the action, it's not a feeling. I just paid for tomorrow's. I believe in my soul that God Almighty is a sucker for gratitude. And Rip defined it this way, gratitude is the golden tray on which I offer others what God has given me. I don't know about you, but I believe in my soul from all that God has given me, that He's given me more than anybody else in this room. Do you know what it's like to be able to take the wisdom of Austin Ripley and Doc Green and spread it around the world, literally? Somebody once said the most important person in the room is the new person. Not true. I am. You're second. You know what that means? It means if there is a choice between your getting drunk or my getting drunk, I hope it's you, and I don't say that unkindly. You see, you may have a return. I don't know whether I do or not. So much has been given me that if I ever jeopardized it, I don't know whether I could ever come back. I just don't know, and I don't want to take the chance. God, in His goodness, through AA, has given me all of you. And I will walk out of here tonight richer than any of you. It's the likes of you that keeps the likes of me going. If true wealth is measured in the coin of love. I'm one of the richest men on this earth, and you've made me rich. You have. I don't know whether I'll ever be grateful. I know that I won't. I can't. It's the only thing that frightens me. And I try to command God every morning in my morning prayers when I say, make me grateful. Make me grateful. Because I know I'm not grateful enough. It's frightening how glibly we speak of it, but I've always said this, if you're truly grateful, you won't have to say a word. I'll see it. AA looks us all in the eye and says, don't tell me, show me. Don't tell me, show me. Well, it's time to say goodbye now. I hate that. It's awful. I've been doing this for a lot of years, and I often wonder, not when, but if, I will ever see you again. I come here and I learn to love you. True, real, honest-to-God love of friendship. The Latins just don't say goodbye. They commend you to God. Adios, adieu, addio. They always look forward to the next visit. Au revoir, Wiedersehen. In Italy, they have an expression, unto the seeing again, a rivedere. In Rome, there's no place on earth where there is greater pride of origin than Rome. And they always say, arrivederci, I'll see you again here. And when Romans meet elsewhere in the world and part, they always say, arrivederla, I'll see you back there. Well, the Ramada Oceanside's where I met you. Let this be our Rome. I commend you to God as I do every day of my life in the beautiful chapel at Ashley, every morning when I say Mass. I've been praying for you for 38 years. And I hope that we can someday meet again here. Arrivederci.